It's interesting going to seminary, and I'm finally entering. I'm pretty much near the end. I'll be done in May. Anyway, you can tell when a pastor went to seminary by the way they preach. Okay, I know some pastors stay in the pulpit and preach, and I used to do that. Read from a script. Now I try to emulate Pastor Chris by coming up front and trying to memorize a lot of my sermon. But one thing during the 1950s and 60s, if you went to seminary, you came up with a message that had 3 points and a poem. 3 points in a poem. And sometimes the pastor would start with the poem or end with the poem, but it would be in there. 3 points in a poem. Recently, going to seminary, we have narrowed that down to 1 point and a story, more of a personal story. So in a minute, I'll get to the story. I see my buddy Noreen is here from Ohio. So I need to add a little comedy to my message. And another thing, besides 1 point and a story, is you should have visuals. So I've got some visuals up on the table reminding us all of this Bible verse about the olive oil that kept pouring out of this small container through a miracle of God. But let me start with the humorous story. So if you look on your bulletin cover, you will see a picture taken from the 1950s of a woman getting her car filled up. Does anybody, perchance, happen to know the year and the make of that car? A 54 Mercury. Who said that, Donna? Oh, you said that. Oh, that was awesome. Yeah, 1954 Mercury, and Bob did too. Okay. So you may be thinking that this woman is getting her car filled up on Sunday, but that's not true. Even though she is dressed in a dress, I'm sure she's got nylons on. She has high heels, a purse, and may even have a closely fitting hat. But any of you who lived during the 50s know that here in Michigan, stores and businesses were closed on Sunday. So she wasn't getting her car filled up on Sunday. That's how a typical person during the 1950s, a woman, would dress, perhaps to go grocery shopping or to visit a friend, okay, even with the white gloves. But the reason I have this picture on the bulletin cover is also to remind me of the story I want to tell you. So this woman pulled into a gas station, and that was another thing. Gas stations were not self-serving. You had at least one and sometimes two or even three attendants come rushing out of the gas station to wait on you. And they would fill up your tank, they would wash your window, they would check your oil. Do you remember all those good things? Some of you don't, I know. That's why I'm telling you this story, because some of you are too young to know this. So anyways, the attendant that was filling up the gasoline tank looked in the back seat and saw three penguins. And so he said to the woman, he said, excuse me, but I just noticed in your back seat there are three penguins. And the lady said, yes, I know, I saw them on the side of the road, so I stopped and I put them in my back seat. What do you think I should do with them? And he goes, well, if I were you, I would take them to the zoo. And so 3 days later, the lady came back to have her tank topped off again. And the attendant came out and he recognized the lady. And so he started filling the gas tank. And he looked in the back seat, and the three penguins were still there. And he said to the lady, "Lady, I thought you were going to take the penguins to the zoo." And she said, "I did. And we had such a great time. Today I'm taking them to the movies." It worked, Noreen. Thanks. So we are going to look closely, verse by verse or clumps of verses, at the scripture reading today and talk about it. First of all, we'll take a look at verse 1. "Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. But the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves.'" As Becky told you, it was really tough when a woman lost her husband back in these early days, because most women did not work. They did not have a profession. There was no way to earn money. And to top that off, she had a couple of children, and they were going to be taken away and worked as slaves. I give this woman, this widow, a lot of credit. She admits her need to Elisha. And that's a hard thing to do. I don't know about you, but it's hard for me to admit my need. I'd rather hide it or pretend it doesn't exist or even try to fix it myself, which usually doesn't work. But God wants us to admit our needs to him, and that we need to confess to him that we cannot do things alone. Verse 2 says, "And Elisha said to her, 'What shall I do for you?'" Now, I read a number of commentaries in preparing this message, and it was interesting because when I read that, "What shall I do for you?" I kind of read it in the same intonation as somebody maybe in a store would come up to me and ask me, "May I help you?" But in these commentaries, they said, perhaps we should read it, "What can I do for you?" In other words, Elisha realized that there was nothing that he could do, that this woman needed to rely on God to help her out. The Holy Spirit worked through Elisha and spoke to him. Now, that was another thing that I was going to bring up. The three points that I'm going to make today, and I know I'm going beyond my one usual. The three points is, first of all of us need to listen for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks to us sometimes directly. I mean, if God wants to, he can yell down words from heaven. Most of the time, I find that the Holy Spirit speaks to me through other people, sometimes Christians, but I've even had the Holy Spirit speak to me through a non-Christian. So that's one point. The second point is we need to stop focusing on what we don't have. And the third point is we need to focus on what we do have. So Elisha goes on to say, filled with the Holy Spirit, so this is really the Holy Spirit speaking to this woman. He says, "What do you have?" And the woman immediately says, "I have nothing in my house." Okay? She is very depressed and sad that her husband has died and pretty much is sure that she has nothing. But all of us have time, some talents, some treasures, and some trusted relationships to share with people. So the woman replies, "I have nothing." But then she remembers, "I do have a jar of oil. And as members of a faith community, we need to remember that we may have a little extra time to spend with people, maybe teaching them a skill. We may have a talent. Maybe we know how to fix cars that we could share with somebody. We may have a little extra treasure that we could help somebody out who's in need. And we may have a trusted relationship or some trusted relationships that we could share with people, you know, help them to network, maybe get a job. So this is basically a message for God's family of faith. We need to stop focusing on what we don't have and instead focus on what we do have. Now, you can fill in the blank for any of these statements that I'm about to make, but many times in churches, we hear, you know, we used to have, fill in the blank, number of members, okay? We know that churches and mainline denominations are shrinking. They're getting smaller. We may say we used to have, fill in the blank, number of pastors. A church this size at one time had 3 full-time pastors. We maybe hear somebody say, I used to teach Sunday school when my kids were young, but they're growing up now. It's somebody else's job to do that now. Or we may hear, this church needs to focus on its membership. We're spending too much money out in the community. We need to focus on the people who give. So we need to get our minds off what we used to have or what we didn't have to begin with, and focus instead on what we do have. So what do we have? Well, it just so happens in the adult ed class that I'm teaching, we're watching a video series that just really, I think, opened a lot of our eyes. What do we have in church? We have a number of ministries going, but those ministries are usually focused on ourselves. And as the pastor that teaches this class on video, what he says is we need to vector off 2 degrees. And let me give you an idea of what he means by that, to get our ministry out in the community. We have a ministry at First Pres called something like Homebound Meals. And the deacons run it. And what they do is when somebody in our congregation has a need, maybe they're ill, maybe they've had a house fire or something, and what they will do is they will provide the family with dinners for a week or so until they can get back on their feet. Wouldn't it be a great thing if not only doing that and focusing on our church community, but if we could vector off a couple of degrees and maybe somebody would come to church and say, I have a neighbor or I have somebody that I work with that has developed an illness or maybe has had some sort of an accident, and they could use some meals. That would be such an easy way for us to take a current ministry and vector out into the community. It would be very inexpensive, and it would be a way to build relationship. I think I have mentioned to you a number of times when I've done messages that the one thing they teach at seminary is it's all about relationship, because many people have been, unfortunately, either hurt by the church or they've been brought up in a family in which church was not a part of their life. And so for them to enter these doors would take a lot of courage. But if we can go out into the community and do things and build up relationships, build up trust with people, then we can listen to their stories as they share, and we can share our stories and invite them to this place. Another idea that I thought of is, I know many of you have probably heard Dave Ramsey, who does financial planning. And he's a Christian, and he does not try to hide this. But basically, his class on financial planning is taught to Christians within a church. Wouldn't it be great if somebody felt a passion for that, that they could take his message and rework it slightly and take it out into the Dearborn adult education community? Because certainly there are people out there in our community that need help with financial planning. Another idea I thought of, and this is something that Nancy DeHamer and I have been kicking around a little bit, because if you've ever had one of Nancy's pies, she makes the best apple pie, other than my wife. But she really does make great apple pie. And we were kicking around the idea of perhaps inviting in a group of international students from the University of Michigan, Dearborn, to learn how to bake a traditional American pie, how to make and bake a traditional apple pie. And I started thinking, wouldn't it be a better idea if we could see if one of those international students that maybe live on campus or live over in the Dearborn Meadows or in the Dearborn Woods apartment complexes, wouldn't it be great if we could get one of them to invite us and a group of their friends to their apartment and actually have Nancy show them how to make a traditional American apple pie. And then, perhaps in a couple of weeks, we could return to that same apartment complex and learn how to make a traditional Indian dish. So those are just some ideas that I was thinking of. So let's take a look in verse 3. Verse 3 said, "Then he said, go outside, borrow vessels of all your neighbors, empty vessels and not too few." Many times when we think of doing things relationally, we think of providing people with items. Well, that's a great thing. But this woman went out and kind of reversed things. She went to all her neighbors and said, "May I borrow some empty vessels that you have?" So this is another way of getting people involved rather than doing things for them, asking them to do something for you. Verses 4 through 6 say, "Then go in and shut the door upon yourself and your sons and pour into all these vessels. And when one is full, set it aside." So she went from him and shut the door upon herself and her sons. And as she poured, they brought the vessels to her. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another." Then the oil stopped flowing. So once again, we can see a woman following what the Holy Spirit has told her to do through Elisha. And then ending this passage, she came and told the man of God, Elisha, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on the rest." So once again, the Holy Spirit is speaking through Elisha. He's taking a problem and offering up instead a solution. So it's time for all of us to listen to the Holy Spirit and think about the various ministries that were involved and how we could slightly change them so that instead of just serving us, we vector out into the community and serve others. And as we shower these gifts on other people, we build up a level of trust and relationship that then they will feel more comfortable sharing their stories with us, we sharing our story of Jesus Christ who came to earth as a human / divine creature to die for our sins. So let's go to God in prayer. God, allow us to admit our needs. Let God speak to us through others or ourselves. Admit what we do have and listen to what God tells us to do, giving him all the glory through our stories and how he provides for us and others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.